Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello there, I'm Gavin Emmett and welcome to the BT Sport MotoGP podcast. We're in Malaysia for the penultimate round of the season, but the tensions are still on what was an incredible race last time out in Australia, and here is how the race was won.
Onto the front straight, the Gardner straight comes Marc Marquez in second place. Surely it's going to be Valentino Rossi. And round the outside, he's looking Maverick Viñales. Who's going to get it? Rossi, Zarco, Viñales. No, Viñales got it.
Breathtaking stuff indeed. And I'm joined in Sepang by Jules and Keith after I'm sure they enjoyed that commentary as well. What a race and battle that was, fellas.
Julian puts his arm across to me there as if you could lead this one off.
Yamaha, for me, big surprise. Where did that come from?
All three of them or the works ones?
Well, no, the works ones, the factory ones. I mean, with the Tech 3s haven't yet had that dip that perhaps we might have expected from the Yamahas. But the factory ones, you know, it didn't seem to be sorted, and then all of a sudden it was.
Yeah, no tyre degradation at the end of the race.
So where did that come from, Jules? Have you been able to find anything out?
Because No. No one's going to tell us that. I mean, was it due to the circuit? You know, drag races out of slow corners.
It is a great circuit for racing at, in general, isn't it? And that race demonstrated just why. It was Tammy Gurali, the Israeli journalist. She calculated 73 overtakes by the riders who finished in the top seven. 73, just those seven. How incredible is that? Phillip Island always delivers.
It's that kind of place, but you only had to see the amount of paint from other people's manufacturers that were on the side of every other bike.
Well, think back to 2015. What a race. Year 2000 here, a similar to last week's, only with two strokes.
I think that I don't think I've seen anything quite as similar as that. That rubbing is racing, I know, but that was beyond. I tell you what, it goes to show. We see it in Moto 3, we see it sometimes in Moto 2, rarely now, I must say, but Moto 3, we see it all the time. But the quality of the top men on the fastest machines in the world rubbing each other the wrong way around a place like Phillip Island, I can't recall ever seeing anything quite as spectacular as we saw last weekend.
And I so enjoyed Johann Zarco's almost mystical statements afterwards about you experiencing things he never thought he would be able to talk about, and you had to be there.
He learned it all on a PlayStation.
The top seven were separated by 5.6 seconds. Keith just referring back to Jorge Lorenzo's comment after the previous round. It's the closest ever gap for a top seven. Top six is a different one, so on and so forth. But we've had some great races this year, whether it's the wet of Japan, whether in Austria. Did that top the lot of them?
For me, absolutely. I mean, and Jack Miller coming back after, we forgot about
the busted
leg.
Local hero at the front.
Yeah, I mean, you've got to bear in mind that he came back in a shorter time than it took Valet to come back.
By one day,
yeah, but it all counts when you're a racer, mate. Yeah, you've never quite understood that, Jules.
But he didn't get the top five that he was hoping for, put in a good stint in the office.
He just cooked his tyres a bit early. Led four laps at the start of the race. Didn't the crowd love it?
Exactly. That's the thing. He actually did everything he could, really. He had to lead the early laps because if he didn't, he wasn't going to. That race, for me, is what Marc Marquez meant about Phillip Island when he said this.
You are riding all FP1 with your boss here. It's true.
And yet, six riders with nothing to lose, effectively, were beaten by the man with it all to lose, Marc Marquez, yet again, Keith. Well, they played it to perfection, didn't he?
They all had him up round their neck, didn't they? Let's face it. It wasn't one man that didn't have him up round their neck.
But his strategy, his racecraft, the way he worked it out, sat tight. He,
24 years old.
And he couldn't even sit tight because he was being attacked left, right and centre.
Well, they all were, and I think that was the whole thing. I mean, it was interesting in the press conference that Johann Zarco said that With Mark, he doesn't insist. In other words, that you can make a pass on me, he doesn't insist on having the ground. But with Valet, he said he's like he has... I can't do the French accent, so I won't. But like he has eyes in the back of his head.
Yeah.
I mean, pretty remarkable analogy, I must say, from what was quite a jokey social media question. The answer that you get from Zarco, he is on a different planet, let's
completely
face it. But, I mean, what a great answer.
He's sort of a warrior monk, isn't he, in amongst the bling,
what
the
Shaolin
bling merchants. And, yeah.
The thing that came to me is that it was quite a diplomatic answer, but ultimately he said, but the thing is, Mark knows he can beat you. Yeah. And is that the sort of higher state that Mark finds himself, that inner confidence?
Well, once you've got everyone else thinking you are, you're almost there anyway.
Well, look what he did. In a group fight, and in a group fight, luck always plays a part, we are led to believe. Unlike the purity of the two-man fight in Motegi. Yet Marc Márquez was able to just at will escape from it. And we saw what those three Yamahas were doing behind him, all over each other.
I mean, they helped him a little bit. I spoke to Maverick afterwards and he said, basically, if I hadn't had Unoni running me in the side and hadn't had the two of the Yamahas, I felt I could be
there. What Jules is saying is that basically left them to play with each other and he just got himself. He got enough distance for them to trip each other up, which gave him an even greater lead in the end. I mean, I think... I'm not sure that's strategic. It's just that he had that extra little bit of performance that allowed that. I wouldn't say that he planned it any more than anyone else planned what they were doing around there. I just don't believe he can in that fight. That's what it takes now. That's what it takes now. In all three classes, that's what it takes. You've got to risk something if you are going to win a title.
Other people, Jules, don't you reckon, in the same situation, might have said, I'm not getting involved. Dovey's back. He's going to finish 11th at the best. And so, do you know what? I'll take my fifth.
But you didn't have a choice. I don't think you'd have, you know, oh, yeah, I'll finish 8th. I don't think that's in the vocabulary of any of those guys. If you relaxed in that group, you were 8th.
Do you know what else as well? I can speak as a rider, if I may, or an old rider, as I may. The fact is that when you're in that kind of dogfight, you love it. You absolutely love it. And what Valentino said afterwards, I think a few people were braced for maybe there was going to be a few words here and there and maybe a little bit of verbal fisticuffs afterwards. But no, every one of those guys loved their job.
Again,
that
I enjoyed Zarco. They've been telling me I am aggressive. It seems I'm not the only one.
Or is it aggressive or stupid, as Valentino suggested?
Oh, it's a very fine line between the two.
Yeah, as Valentino was pointing out. In fact, later on, when Valentino did his debriefs, he wasn't quite so amused as he seemed straight after the race.
Yeah, but that's because at the end of the day, you know, he realised how close everybody was on the edge. But that's what made it such a sparkling race. That's what made it so special. You've got 8 guys at one point that were all going hammer and tong, but no one looked like they were going to crash.
That is
even
the
though they
thing.
Were though they were rubbing each other in the braking areas. Now, it was incredible. If it had been Moto3, you know somebody would have been through the fence. But the fact was, you'd got 8 of the top guys hammer and tong at it, rubbing paint.
2 rookies in there as well. Rins on the back of it, just hanging on. Zarco, a rookie. Mm. Satellite bikes for Miller and Crutchlow in there. What more does the motorsport want?
And Marquez finishing the race with a broken tail section of his bike after the clatter from Joan Zarco. He comes here now, 33 points in the lead. He can win the championship this weekend with a first or second, and it's guaranteed. That's all how it all shakes out after it. Will he win it this weekend?
The weather's going to play a massive factor, Jules. I mean, the weather forecast looking at it at the moment is it's going to chuck it down all weekend. So I think that's going to be the... And the problem is, and I mean, we've been expecting Mark to throw it at the fence for some time now, at a crucial point. Me and Hodgie sit here and I think Hodgie says it every round. It's time that he fell down. We get difficult weather this weekend. Just maybe this is all going to Valencia and it's going to be a lot finer than it looks at the minute.
Yeah, 24 crashes already this season.
Anything's possible. I'm not going to argue with Keith.
But he's had a lot of crashes this year. They've just not been at critical times. Mm-hmm. Yes. He's got one coming, Marc Márquez.
Interesting thought. Right. I have this sneaky feeling it's going to Valencia. I don't know. I can't justify that statement.
Nobody can.
None of us can. But I have this sneaky feeling that this season has another twist in its tail.
And Dovi did win here last year. We must not forget.
If it's wet and here, Ducatis are a good thing. Unlike at Phillip Island, where the first Ducati owned was Scott Redding in 11th.
It was a disaster. I tell you what, unmitigated disaster. All the progress they thought they'd made this year just went to the wall, didn't it?
Well, let's hear from Marc Márquez and his thoughts ahead of possibly winning a 6th World Championship and 4th in MotoGP here this weekend.
got to talk about Philipp Hänninen. What a race that was. Tell us what it was like from your point of view.
Yeah, it was an amazing race. Amazing race. I enjoyed a lot on the bike, but honestly, it was difficult to manage that race. I tried to make quite a similar strategy, or just try to be calm in the first part of the race, and just attack the last five laps, like I did in another races. And yeah, I was trying to manage the tires, and in the end, I give everything what I had. But honestly, it was tough, because most of the riders that were in front didn't fight for the championship, and I'm fighting for the championship plus the race. So difficult to manage, but in the end, 25 points really important.
Right, so we've heard from Marc Márquez. I wonder what you think about Valentino Rossi's quote. We touched on it just previously when he said, this is the game, it's like this, it's a bit dangerous, but this is the way now. If not, you have to stay at home. So I wonder if the likes of Johann Zarco, does that mean they need to be a bit more careful if he's roughing up the factory riders, if he wants slot?
I think that they're all capable. Hang on a minute. Just step back a little bit in time to each and every one of these guys. Each and every one of these guys has had a name for crashing into somebody at some stage. There is not one of them that can be... How many times has Valentino Rossi knocked someone off at the last corner?
I can think of three at the moment.
There you go. I mean, the point is that... They step up when they need to step up. They do the extra bit when they need the extra bit. There's nothing wrong with Zarco. Zarco's just doing what he has to.
Nobody was outside the limits of what was decent racing conduct.
Well, who's setting them? Those limits.
The people who compete within the race.
That's exactly right.
Nobody complained.
So what about the man we haven't mentioned in all this talk of the battle at the front, Andrea Dovizioso? Because we've mentioned all the others. They're risk takers in so many ways. Dovi hasn't got a reputation for that over the year, but he's had the reputation of being savvy. Will that serve him in good stead this weekend? Or will he need to start taking risks to bring this title down to Valencia?
Well, absolutely, Jules. Both. That's exactly right. He's got at the end of the day, we've got two rounds left. He's 33 points in arrears. So, you know, he's got to do the business. But that Ducati has not been like it was before. All the data and all the setup and all the stuff they've had before. This year, it's worked on tracks we didn't expect it to work on. It's not worked on ones that perhaps it might have worked on. It failed so miserably at Phillip Island. Yeah, I was stunned.
Why was that? Because Scott Redding, as Jules mentioned before, was the top of the Ducati when he was 11th.
And now he's in the doghouse.
Yeah. What do we put it down to, though, then? Well, the anomaly of Phillip Island?
Phillip Island, the premium on carrying speed through the corners. What's the Ducati never done? Turned in the middle of corners.
It's amazing how that inherited factor
is still
there. That DNA is still there.
Was it exacerbated by the aero, I ask myself?
What? No aero.
Did Dovi have aero on?
No.
Lorenzo did.
Dovi didn't.
Dovi didn't.
And the Pramac boys didn't, I don't think, in the end either.
No, I didn't see any on Pramac.
So, I mean, I think they sacrificed the aero for turn speed.
Yeah.
You know, all that effort getting from side to side when you've got aero makes it harder work.
But that's what Suzuki said as well. They took the aero off for that reason.
Even speaking to Dovi before the weekend in Phillip Island, he was saying, he says, look, the bike's great picking up out of the corner. It's fantastic on braking, but we still have the inherent problem. We still have it.
Yeah, and how much time do you spend at Phillip Island actually straight up and down as opposed to on the side of a tyre? Very little.
Well, you can say that again.
But Dovi does have form here at Sepang. He won here 1 year ago. Let's hear from him before this weekend here in Sepang.
It was a tough weekend. We tried to do the maximum, but unfortunately we wasn't able to get a lot in the race. And with my mistake in the second lap, for sure became worse, but we didn't have the speed, so I wasn't able to recover a lot of position. This is very bad for the championship, but we have to be realistic and we have to think in positive until at the end of the season, and we will see in this track everything can happen. I think we can be quite competitive in the dry and especially on the wet, but you know, in this track the weather changed many times.
It is an unusual track, this, obviously, with the heat and that lot. We have seen you go well here in the past. Is it a place you like, though?
The track is one of the best in our championship, for sure. The condition is really over the limit for the riders.
but it's the same for everybody, so we have to try to manage in the best way. And I'm really interested to see our competitive on the dry, because we never be so fast in the dry here. But it's a track I like a lot, so I think this year we was fast in many tracks, where in the past we wasn't, so I'm quite optimistic, and we have to approach the weekend very determined.
Physically, the hardest track of the year?
For sure, 100%. It's very, very, very difficult. If it's a long time, minimum three, 4 years, we didn't make a full race in the dry, fortunately.
Yeah. Good luck this weekend.
Thank you.
Thanks, Tommy.
So we've heard from our title rivals. Let's crack on with all the other stories you might not know about before the weekend. Aleix Espargaró missing this race with a broken metacarpal. He's going back to Barcelona to have it operated on.
Yeah, that's a big shame. That was a big weekend at Phillip Island. They've made a breakthrough. He's made a breakthrough. He's fitter than he's ever, ever looked. He's thrown everything at the last few race meetings. That break we had just before we went on the three-week flyaways. You know, there's a man that's real. Not that any of them aren't, but
He's put
everything at it. So to be broken before the end of the season is a great shame.
I spoke to the team, and they said that he was actually wanting to try it still here. But he got here on Monday. He had 2 days of pain, sleepless nights. And he said, I don't mind pain when I'm riding, but if it's constant pain throughout the weekend, it clearly needs an operation. So that's why he's decided to do it. Right decision.
And he suspected that when he was coming here, as you saw from his tweets and... what have you. Unlucky, to put it mildly.
Of course, we're missing Jonas Folger again at Tech 3. Michael van der Mark is filling in, and he finally gets his going MotoGP with Yamaha. Of course, he went to Aragon, didn't he, and didn't get to ride there.
He didn't.
For Rossi.
But that weren't his birthday. Today's his birthday, the 26th. So he's got a big birthday weekend, and I hope we can celebrate with him on Sunday night.
Nice present, isn't it, though?
He's a great kid. I really admire Mickey van der Mark. I think he's got a nice manner about him. He can ride a motorcycle. He deserves a go at it, that's for sure. Couldn't do it last weekend, obviously, because of the World Superbike round that was on at the same time. So he gets his go.
Well, he did all right, actually. He was up. He was racing right at the front as well last time. Clearly, he's finding something.
I think the problem is he's getting on a brand spanking new motorcycle that he hasn't ridden, and the weather here is going to be a bit tricky. So if he's got iffy conditions and differing on each day, that's really tricky when you jump on a motorcycle to try and come together on Sunday.
Yeah, having spoke to Mickey earlier, he said the only thing he's got going for him is he knows which way to turn because he knows the track. But he says,
that's quite a big deal.
That helps
some way, doesn't it? We could also, as well, crown a Moto2 world champion this weekend. Franco Morbidelli, 29 points clear of Tom Lutie. So, simple equation for Tom, who has won here on a couple of occasions previously. He has to win the race.
Yeah, and he's hurt. That's the problem, isn't it? He's a bit battered, which I think he's not in the best of nick. Two rounds left, and Frankie's got an end on that trophy again, hasn't he? Now?
He has. I mean, if you saw Tom Lutie getting off his bike after the Phillip Island Grand Prix, he couldn't quite manage it on his own.
But and there's no odds in, sorry, Gav, there's no odds in the debilitating effect of this kind of oppressive heat and humidity. It really, as a rider, when you're not feeling very well, this just adds to it pretty big.
But Frankie's had one hand on the title a few times this year. and it's somehow been reeled in a couple of times.
Yep.
So we've seen the KTM strong. We know there are probably going to be other people in the mix, especially in tricky conditions. So I don't know. What do we think about that one?
Am I right in thinking KTM's first ever Grand Prix win was here with Casey in the 125s?
Yeah, you could well be right in the 125s. Yeah.
So I want to know where it comes from, Jules.
Austria,
I just want to. You were rubbing your beard. Is it some kind of like genie?
Yep. Oh, yeah, just so you've seen a Kill Bill.
Do you know who he beat in that race?
Oh, come on. What's this, a stat off between
you
two?
Well, might as well while we're at it.
Two of the both best boys when it comes to bookwork that we've got on the plot.
Andrea Dovizioso.
Was it?
In the final corner. I remember it like it was yesterday.
Unbelievable. I'll get me coat.
Oh, there's an omen for
now,
Sunday.
Third was?
That is an even better question. I have absolutely no idea.
DigiDad's got the book.
He's going to
get the book
out.
There's no cheating.
We can't allow the book. We can't allow that. We'll save that one for you guys at home to fire in at us at BT Sport MotoGP. Let's move on to Moto3 then. We've got our champion in Joan Mir. To me, I don't know about you fellas, but he looks like a class act. Do we think he's heading right to the top?
I absolutely do. I mean, I think Jules and I have agreed on this for some time, which is one of the rare things in life.
But for every Marc Márquez and Maverick Viñales in Moto2, there's a Sandro Cortese, a Danny Kent, Alex Márquez, where it's taken time to get to the top. So what's he got to do to avoid that?
I think the way that he's ridden this year and the way that he's worked out how to do it in difficult situations, I think that's what puts him slightly aside from the normal world champions.
Yeah.
Normal world champions.
He's won more Moto3 races anyway. Yeah. Could beat Rossi's record.
And it's just the way he worked for me. He looks like he's got a technical ability that you can ally to MotoGP. Yeah. I think MotoGP, he's got the brain that seems to suit that. He's got the personal eloquence. I mean, the guy, he's a
sharp. Intelligence is there, isn't it?
Absolutely. I just think he's got that riding technical ability to translate to MotoGP.
In Tardozzi, when I asked Tardozzi the same sort of question years ago about Carl Fogarty, Tardozzi said to me, there are many good riders, there are very few great riders. When you see it, you know it. And we look at Joan Mir.
We think we've seen it and known it. Yeah. Yeah, he looks like he could go there. He could win 11 races and set a new record for the lightweight class. We'll have to wait and see what he gets up to here in Sepang. Thank you very much, Keith. Cheers, Jules, as well. It's going to be another fascinating race weekend. In Japan, we had the Márquez and Dovi battle. In Australia, we had those 73 overtakes and an Australian leading the Grand Prix. So can you afford not to join us in the middle of the night for the race? We get underway at 1:30 a.m. on Sunday morning for race day on BT Sport 2. Don't forget, the clocks go spring forward, fall back. On a Sunday night at 2 in the morning. So do remember that. Make sure you join us. We will see you then. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.